This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show on a Tell the Truth Thursday about the Eagles offseason. We will get back to that discussion after we hear this, a great interview that I have to give credit where it's due.
Jack. Sadly. Yep, sadly.
I have to give credit where it's due. The WIP Morning Show did a great interview this morning with Dave Dombrowski, Philly's president of baseball operations, about pretty much everything you want to hear, every question you would want to hear answered, and Dombrowski answered them. And here it is.
Mr. Dave Dombrowski. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. Welcome to Clearwater.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you. Welcome to WIP and our program. We appreciate it. Our booth inside your headquarters. How you feeling? You got another season about to crank up. Should be a heck of a division. You got a heck of a baseball team. How you feeling?
Well, I feel good about the club. I mean, it's one of those that we should be in any type of race that's out there. We have a good enough club to do it. You're always hopeful for health, of course. That's number one.
Yeah.
And we've got some depth, but if you get hurt at the wrong positions, that's never a good thing. But we have a great club, and we're in a situation we should compete all year long. We've reached the point here where if you don't make the playoffs, it'll be a very disappointing type of season for us.
So be a surprise, right?
It would be a surprise, yeah. And I don't ever want to take that for granted because it's hard. It's hard to win day in and day out and to push it. I also feel good about where we are not only here with the ball club, but I also feel good where we are from organizational perspective because we're finally getting some internal young players that have taken some time to come with us since I've been here. It's the best group of young players we have. Now, some of them are out sent to the minor leagues, but they're not far from being with us. And we've got some really good players with the Millers, the Crawfords, the Painters, the Rinconas. It's really a fun group. So when you look at those young players meshing in with the group of players that we currently have, I think we're in for a good period of Phillies baseball for years to come.
So, Dave, let's talk about last October for a moment, and ironically not what you might perceive we talk about, which is the games that were played in those four games and they didn't go well. It's right after that. I'm curious, as you embark on a new season here, if October 15th, you'd been eliminated a few days before that, did you think then that you would have so many of the same position players back that are back? There's one new starter in the field, and he's even a part-time player. There was a perception of many fans that there would be more changes. Are you surprised there weren't?
Well, I guess I would say surprised to an extent because I think that when you're talking about being open-minded, which is how we presented it, and that's how we really felt about it, and when you have good players and you're open-minded to it, it normally makes something happen, that usually something happens. In our situation, we were open-minded. We listened to what people had to say, but we were in a position where the moves just didn't make sense to make us a better ball club because you're not just making moves to make moves. You want to become a better club, or else if you trade somebody, you're in a position to put you in a spot to go pursue this free agent or this trade. So a little bit, if you'd have said October 15th and close after that, but then once we got to the winter meetings or close to the winter meetings, it became pretty apparent that I didn't think we were going to make major deals at that point because we just didn't find the same interest that we would have perceived in our players.
Have you had contract extension talks with either JT Realmuto or Kyle Schwarber?
Well, I'll take the same posture that I always take with contract negotiations. I really never discuss them publicly. I have found there's no value in that whatsoever.
And so
it's a situation, I think the best thing I could say is that they're both really good players. And you can throw Ranger Suarez into that situation also, that we're in a spot where we like them. We'd love to keep them part of the Phillies organization for years to come and leave it at that.
So we do tend to skip way ahead. We think playoffs. What is the fix to cold offense in the playoffs?
Well, I hope it works as well as your mind then, because if we're going to that point, that would be great. You know, really, it's an interesting perspective, because when you put together a good club, which I believe that we have, we won 95 games last year, you really look at, there's some really good offensive play. We have some really star players on our team. We pitched well. It's a situation that sometimes it comes, you have to perform well at that particular time. That's just it, the way it is. And you can look at other clubs, and I never say, well, look at that team, and now we're just like that. But look at other clubs. They have that same scenario. And I've been with clubs that have outstanding offenses. I've been with the Detroit Tigers when we had not only good clubs but great offenses. Been with the Boston Red Sox, great offenses. We won it all in the one year. But other years we didn't. And it really comes down to that you have to get a big hit at a key time. And sometimes the guys come through and sometimes they don't. The competition is really good at that particular time of the year. And sometimes it's just you're hot at that particular moment. Guys are swinging the bat at that particular time, and other times there's not. And mm-hmm. I mean, you can talk about plate discipline, and I know that everybody talks that about, and you always try to increase that and be a little bit better. But the reality is, it was interesting. Last year we went into it at the time, and in the playoffs, our plate discipline was in the middle of the pack versus playoff clubs.
Didn't look like it to me.
No, but
it I hear you. You're basing that on
statistics. Yes,
it didn't. And obviously, we were living and dying with every pitch.
Sure,
You know.
Yes,
as I'm sure
as I was too.
You were as well.
But it's interesting at that time. But it just shows how hard it is to score runs. I mean, I look back and I look when I was with the Detroit Tigers back in 2013. We had a great club, three sure bet Hall of Famers, right? Verlander, Scherzer, Cabrera on that team, and five Cy Young Award winners were on that staff. Okay, and we were in a position where we had over their careers, and we were in a position that we held the Boston Red Sox at that point. I was with the Tigers. To the lowest batting average in the history of any postseason at that point.
That sounds pretty good.
And we got beat 4-2. Because you know why? David Ortiz hit a grand slam home run against us in the 8th inning off in our situation off of Benoit that just made it out of there. Mm. We lost the next game 1-0 with Justin Verlander pitching.
So, a lot
of times it's getting those key big hits at that big time, and that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
And so that's what you hopefully end up doing, and you put together players to do it. The Dodgers have the great club. They won the World Championship, right? They got beaten the first round the 2 years before that.
Yeah.
Atlanta Braves have been beaten the first round 3 years in a row. So it really comes down to you put together a good club. You're in a spot where you hopefully pitch. And even you look at the first game, right? We lost 6-1, I think it was. We were up 1-0 in the 8th inning, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Our bullpen didn't do the job that day. And it had been a really good bullpen. So you just need to do things and play games in order to win them.
Sure.
And it comes any way you possibly can.
So, and Dave Dombrowski here with us as we broadcast from Clearwater today. So, Dave, what you are saying resonates massively with me. John and James know, and our listeners know, I've been preaching this since you guys got eliminated. There's the that's baseball term that, you know, short series, things can happen. Okay, we all know that. Not everybody, though, accepts that. There are a lot of fans that are ticked in ways that they weren't after 22 and after 23, who are losing some patience and belief. What do you say to those fans that say, yeah, everything you just said can be totally accurate, but I don't want to hear it, and I don't want excuses, and I want a George Steinbrenner type to lead my team from an ownership standpoint, and I want a Dallas Green type to lead my team from a managerial standpoint. Guys, enough talk. Go win me a World Series. What do you say to those people, which I think there's a lot of out there now?
Sure, and I get it. I think it's a situation. First of all, I'd never use the term, that's baseball.
Okay.
Because I don't believe
I've used it.
Yeah, I don't believe that either.
Okay.
because I don't believe that just happens. I mean, you can go out there and perform better and do things. I think that's baseball, when that term comes into play, is when you get a broken bat hit that flies over the second baseman's head, and or you get a little chopper in the infield, and a guy makes a great pitch, and all of a sudden it drives in around you, saying, "I can't believe that took place."
Yeah.
That's to me is, I think the reality is you need to perform better, is what it comes down to at those key times, and I need to put players in a position to do that. I think what ends up happening is, and this is not the first time I've ever been around this, is that patience wears thin, right, is what it comes down to. In 22, people were thrilled that we were in the playoffs. We made a nice run to be in a spot. In 23, to this day, I mean, it will be one of the more devastating playoff losses I've ever been around, losing to Arizona, being up 3-2. Last year, I don't think we played very well coming to the postseason.
Yeah.
The Mets played better than we did. And I don't think yelling and screaming in baseball does much good. I've been around it, you know, long enough to be in that spot. Nobody's happy. I mean, internally, we're not happy. There's things we talk about, we discuss. Now, when you say that, and some of this stuff falls beyond my final decision, I guess I could make decisions in my spot, but, you know, sometimes you change a lineup, right? Maybe that changes it. Maybe that makes it. Maybe you end up getting a better fifth starting pitcher, and that all of a sudden changes your situation. Maybe you get a young pitcher that comes up and performs for you. Maybe at the middle of the year. And I will say last year I felt bad. I thought that Austin Hayes would really help us at the trade deadline when we made that. Well, nobody wants to hear it. I don't want to hear it. He got hurt and had a kidney infection that nobody would ever anticipated. And versus some of those left-hand pitchers that we faced, I think would have been a very valuable guy for it. Can't do anything after that time period to make another trade. So I get it. It doesn't I was telling Jason Stark recently, came in and did an interview with me, and we talked about it. I said, you know, it's interesting. I was with a writer, Hall of Fame writer. His name is John Lowe in Detroit. And John Lowe came up to me, and this was, I don't know, 2013, and said, "Dave, do you realize this is the greatest time period in Detroit Tiger baseball history? You've had better record over the time period that you've ever had. We're drawing 3 million people a year. You got great players people want to come see play, and it's the greatest time period." And I said, "You know, it's wonderful. It's great. But it won't be recognized that until we win a world championship."
Yeah.
And we didn't.
Right.
So 68 and 84 are thought of along those lines better. But if you looked at it over the time period, it was the best time.
Wow.
And it will be the same for this club. And that's just the way it is. We have a very good club. Now, of course, there's been great time periods in 2008 to 11, and the Phillies won a world championship and drew 3 million people a year and a lot of great players. And that's probably the greatest time period in Phillies baseball history. This can challenge it if we win a world championship.
Yeah.
And if we don't, that's just the way it is. And I mean, I do spend every day I can, a lot part of my day, on how we can make that happen and what moves we can make happen. But the reality is you have good players, and they have to play well at the right time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, people may not want to hear it, but that's just the way it is. Sometimes a guy needs to pitch a shutout rather than give up one run. Sometimes you need to give a big hit rather than hit a line drive, and everybody says, geez, you know, you can go back through his guys, it's a line drive at the second baseman. Well, if it was 2 inches that way, they win that ball game. So it's the heartbreaking part. That's what makes our game so tough at times.
It's all about perspective.
And you can't go out there and, you know, just the players know it. I mean, to go and yell and scream at the players doesn't really do you much good because they know it. I mean, I can guarantee that there's not anybody that's sitting in our clubhouse that are thrilled that we haven't won a world championship yet. But I think the reality is, hey, we have the talent to do it. Now we got to go do it.
Dave, again, it really is all about perspective. My perspective is sort of, I'm floundering right now because we talked to Rob Thompson an hour and a half ago talking about the leadoff spot. If Trey Turner is leading off, then Bryce would be in the two spot. How do you feel about that? What do you make of that concept? What's your perspective on that idea?
Well, also, I have my perspective. I have my feel on it. But I am going to keep that to myself because I find that that's the manager's decision. And the reality is, too, and this is no offense to Rob Thompson, I don't agree with what the manager does all the time, just like you probably don't. But it's not just Rob Thompson. It's any manager. I've been around Hall of
Fame.
We keep
our opinions to ourselves at WIP.
Sure.
We never criticize.
I'm sure. You know, that's one of the good things I hear about you.
Yeah,
you know, that's it. But the reality.
We're like Mr. Rogers around here. It's all nice.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was a great lesson because early in my career, I wasn't a general manager at that time, but Tony La Russa was our manager. And then when I was with, of course, for a while with the Marlins and then the Tigers, Jim Leland was. Well, they're two of my best friends. They're two Hall of Fame managers. And I sat up there. I didn't agree with everything they did. Now, they were right more often than I was, I will say that. But that's part of the fun of our game that people have, too, the second-guessing aspect of it. So, but when I start coming out with that, I think it puts undue pressure and all thought processes on the manager. And he knows the way I think, but I wouldn't come out and publicly tell it.
So Dave Dombrowski with us here. A few more minutes before we turn it over to Joe and Hugh at the top of the hour. Dave, a couple other aspects of the team if we can get to. Trey Turner. I've heard people say, I don't know if it's true or not, that the organization doesn't want to move Trey Turner to the outfield because the organization promised Trey Turner that he'd be the shortstop for a long time. Did the organization promise Trey Turner that he'd be the shortstop for a long time? Is the organization concerned about approaching him to move to the outfield?
Well, the way I would say, when we signed him as a shortstop, and we told him that he would be our shortstop, and we felt that way. But if we don't think Trey Turner is capable of playing good shortstop, and you have to remember it's defense and offense that combines there,
sure,
too. No, we'd move him off a shortstop. But that would be the way it is. Now, he wouldn't per se like it, and you wouldn't just wake up one day and say, we're moving you. You'd do the proper steps. But no, there's no promises that he would be our shortstop for the future.
I'm glad to hear that. No, that's great. You used the term earlier. I agree with it. Some may not. You called the team great. Let's get to that. Do you believe it is a great team this year? Is that correct?
Well, maybe if I did say, I feel great about the club. I can't tell you we're a great club. No, I don't mean to say. I think we're a good club, mm-hmm. a really good club. But great will be when you win a championship. That's for me. So I think we have a very good club. We have a lot of positives of it. You can always be better.
Yeah.
I feel great about it, but I don't mean to imply that we're just, to me, you're great when you win it
all.
Go
prove it, yeah. So, Dave, something that we have kicked around on our show a little bit in recent weeks, and this is a topic I never conceived would ever enter the sports discussion, but it has for us. Is it better to win the division or not? So let's talk about this for a second. If you win the division and get a bye, which two of the three teams get a bye, you have advanced in the playoffs beyond the first round, but you're waiting 5, 6, 7 days to play a game. Is it better to win the division or not?
Well, you're going to try to win the division. That's the way it is, because you're going to try to win every game you possibly can.
Yeah.
And I the way I answer that question, which is a taking an easy way out. Because my wife asked me this question, too, all the time.
I mean, it's a valid question. Yeah. There are a lot of teams, including before last year, the Dodgers would get clipped in their first series. The Braves were getting clipped in their first series. The Yankees, I mean, it's happened a lot
with the
new format.
A lot.
A lot.
Right, that's why.
So James is on the record saying, like, he really thinks it might be better for you to be a wild card team. I mean, James, do you really believe that, James?
I'm torn on it, obviously, but yeah, look, the only two postseasons they went as a wild card, we've gone further. I mean, the team has played hot. I think more than anything, you have to be peaking in September and October.
But and part of peaking is not waiting for a week.
My point is having to win that wild card, having to fight for it, and then getting in.
The Eagles just played in the wild card round,
you know?
And won a
they
Super Bowl.
But it's a different sport, and it's different. All right, so Dave, what do you think?
Here's my answer to it, which will encompass a lot there. I would rather go into the wild card if you guaranteed me we win the first round.
Right.
Yeah, no, but that's a great. You're right.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yes. Because then you're rolling.
Then I'm rolling.
Even though you're playing the next series on the road in game one.
I don't care.
Yeah. I agree
because
with that.
Really,
that's where I'm at.
Really, it's.
But you can't guarantee it.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Because it's in a short series, in a three-game series, anything can happen.
Yeah.
You know, even much more so. So that's why. If you told me, I'd rather win the division and I take my chances, and I would like to approach that, okay, how do we come in hot and play well and that after a five-day layoff? Frankly, I have not been with clubs that have been very successful at that. I've struggled with that.
That's interesting.
At times.
Wow.
And even when we've lost two times in the World Series, when we were just had great clubs and we had 7 days off when I was with the Tigers 1 year, and actually twice with the Tigers in 2006 and 2012. We won, marched through in four games, and we had in the ALCS at that point, so we had 6 or 7 days off. And everybody was picking us to be the favorite, and we scuffled. And it was usually, it was from the offensive perspective. One time we struggled with defense as far as pitching was concerned. We do everything we can. We work hard. We were ready to do it. And it can be done. Look at the Dodgers did it, right, last year. Mm-hmm. So they ended up advancing in that regard. So it can be done. But those best of three, they really scare you. Because if you anything can happen, and all of a sudden one of your guys has a bad outing, and now it's, here we go.
Your season's on the line. Yeah.
So that's what my choice would be. But if I had to choose one or the other, I'd still rather win the division.
Yeah, it's a tough call. All right, a couple final moments here with Dave Dombrowski. Dave, Bryce Harper wants a new contract. You don't talk contracts. I ask questions. Is Bryce Harper going to get a new contract anytime soon? Right. I guess the best question.
I guess I'd have to give you my same answer as I did, and I think that's the appropriate one. So I think in that situation, he's a great player. We know that. I know that we feel, and John Middleton wants him to finish his career as a Philadelphia Philly, and leave it at that.
Is Middleton ratcheting up the pressure on you and Rob Thompson and the players, particularly the star players?
Well, is he ratcheting up? I think he wants to win a lot, and you know, and he's like probably he's a combination of owner and Philadelphia fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he is a Philadelphia fan.
Yeah.
That's true.
So I think that you see that in him probably maybe a little bit more, like you get a little more frustrated as time goes on. But I don't think it's ratcheting up as far as pressure is concerned. Hey, we feel the same thing. We play a bad game. I know I think one of the hardest things that I've learned throughout my career. So I played sports. You know, I played sports my whole career, and played football and baseball and even basketball for a while. But in there is the hardest thing is learning to be patient with the losing part of baseball when you play 162 games, because you're just not going to, even though, why don't we win 162 games, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're going to get beat, and you're going to play five games. I say this, I just got done. You're going to play five games every year where you absolutely stink and get crushed. And you're going to win five games like that.
Sure.
I don't like us to play those five games, but to walk into the manager's office and yell and scream and all that, it happens to basically everybody. It's our sport.
Yeah.
Now, if you do that in football and you lose 52-0,
probably says something about your team.
Yeah,
a little different.
But in baseball, it unfortunately it happens, and you just got to pick it up and come back the next day and deal with it and go win the next day.
I think it's an interesting distinction, though. In football, you yell at guys, and it really does elicit a response. They can actually do better. They can tap into anger or something. Tapping into anger at the plate, what is that going to do for you?
Usually not, because you want to be more relaxed up at the plate and focused. And not that you can't be upset and all that type of stuff, but the anger part of it. So that's the hardest thing that you learn throughout the year. And it's not easy, because you want to win every – I mean, I don't know about anything I play. I want to win, you know, competitively.
Yeah.
There it is. Great conversation with Dave Dombrowski with the WIP Morning Show today. If you would like to listen again or you only got part of it, you can go get the podcast version of it wherever you get your podcasts. Coming up next, I do have a question for you guys talking about both the Phillies and the Eagles that I'm presenting to both Jack and Ike. That'll be next. And you both have to tell the truth.
Tell the truth Thursday. This show.
Yeah, tell the truth Thursday.
I definitely wasn't lying earlier.
No. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.